Good evening. My sincere thanks to you for being with us tonight for this continued study of Bible lessons concerning essential and basic Bible truths that all of us need to understand and know. Some of them have been lessons with regard to the gospel and first principles. Others have been lessons about authority, and others about such books as the book of Revelation. We've covered a wide variety of topics. We've covered a wide variety of depth and shallowness, if you may use those expressions, with regard to the Word of God. And we hope that you've been profited and that you've been benefited by this series of lessons. And I thank so many of you who have come from other congregations to be with us, people that I've known for many, many years, having preached in this area some 30 years ago for about 12 years. It's been a joy to see so many of you to come out and be with us and to encourage these brethren and to encourage me in this series of studies. A year or two ago, I was talking to a couple of young men while I was in a meeting over in Illinois. And during the course of that meeting, one of the young men asked me to read a book about the prominence and the prevalence of pornography in these United States. I read the book and was intrigued with regard to some of the statistics and some of the information that I'd learned about how prominent it was for young men and even older men to be involved in pornography. Later on in that meeting, another young man came to visit, and he told me about a son-in-law that had gotten involved in pornography and that it has led now, but at that time was leading to the divorce of his daughter from that young man. And as I understand now, that divorce has already taken place. Not many years ago, a member of the church in about an hour and a half drive from St. Louis called me with regard to the problem of pornography. He had been caught looking at pornography on the job. He had a government job, and the government provided counseling for him for 12 sessions to get over the addiction of pornography. But afterward, his counselor thought he needed someone that he could confide in, someone he could talk to when he was having a problem, and he chose me and called me. And this was a faithful member of the Lord's church, a song leader, an adult Bible class teacher, a man who at one time, long before that, had come to me and talked to me about increasing the spirituality among the brethren in the church where he was worshiping. And yet he had got caught up in this very thing himself. A gospel preacher, and this comes third or fourth hand, but a gospel preacher reportedly was divorced by his wife because he got addicted to and got involved in pornography. One of the elders with which I work at Kirkwood, Missouri, this very time, tells me of a number of cases that he has got involved with members of the church who needed strengthening, who needed taught, who needed encouragement, that they were involved in pornography. And I decided that when I went home, I needed to do a little research into this field for study purposes and for teaching at Kirkwood, lest there be that sort of thing there as a secret sin that I know nothing about. These two young men in Illinois convinced me that there may be as high as 15 to 20 or 25% of young men in the Lord's church that are involved in this sin. And they whetted my appetite to at least look into the subject, to study about it, to find out about it and see if there were some things that maybe I could learn that might help me help them in dealing with this problem. Let me suggest to you that Jesus said in Matthew the 5th chapter, verses 27 through 28, in a very familiar passage, most of us have learned this passage from years past and probably a good many could quote it, but you have heard that it was said, Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that everyone that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. I believe that this passage gets to the very essence of the sin of pornography. And in the course of our study tonight, we'll come back to this passage to talk about the heart of man and the problem that many men evidently have in the world, and no doubt a good many in the Lord's church, with this problem of pornography. When I talk to you about pornography, there are a few things I'd like to suggest to you at the outset of our study. Many, many years ago, before we had video recorders, and before we had computers and the internet, there were probably, according to some statistics, about 1,000 theaters throughout the United States to which men would go and watch women display what now we refer to as pornography. Those theaters have practically, as I understand it, dried up. There are not many of them around anymore. The reason for that is that 70 to 80 million homes in the United States have computers and video recorders. And pornography now is something that takes place in the homes of young men, young husbands, young fathers. This is a $10 billion, and I want you to think about that for just a moment. This is a $10 billion industry that is supported on DirecTV and cable networks by such companies as General Motors and Hughes Technology, and hotels such as the Hyatt, the Hilton, the Sheraton, the Marriott say that 50% of the people that rent rooms in those hotels order pornographic movies. And that gives us some sense of how widespread this problem is in our society today. Pornography, we want to understand, is like gambling. And it is like drinking. It is an addiction. Though it is principally a psychological addiction, it is indeed an addiction in which very often some type of counseling is necessary. Some kind of help is necessary for young men to overcome it. I mentioned to you at the beginning how I became interested in talking about this subject and preaching on this subject. And I want to, as we continue the course of our study this evening, see if we can understand basically what the sin of pornography is. Let us begin then with a study of the meaning of the word itself. The word porno is a family of words that comes from the Greek word pernao, or sometimes the verb pernami. These are two Greek verbs that mean essentially to sell. The word graph, of course, means that which is written or displayed in letters or pictures or some kind of something that can be viewed. So that pornography, then, is that which is sold in the form, as we understand it, as pictures. But when you look at the word porno or pornography in the New Testament, the word, first of all, is used to refer to harlots. The word porne is used in Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." The harlots were women who sold their bodies. And thus, porne is the Greek word for a prostitute or for a harlot, one who sells her body. Porneia is the Greek word for fornication and is used in Matthew the 15th chapter, verse 19, where Jesus talks about, "Out of the evil heart of a man do such things as adultery and murder and fornication proceed." Fornication that which is a selling of the body. When somebody engages in fornication, they are selling their body for something, as we'll note a little more about that in just a moment. But the verb form of that word fornication is pornuo, and it's used in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul says to flee fornication, or literally to flee fornicating. In other words, run away from and keep yourself away from the sin of fornication. And then pornos, used in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verse 9, where Paul gives a list of various sins that if a person is guilty of, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He includes then the fornicator. Now, fornication then, as we have known from, or as we have noted rather, from the origin of the word, means that which is sold. And I want us to understand tonight the essential meaning of fornication, and how fornication is the selling of the body. It is the selling of the body for money. A woman sells her body as a harlot for money. And I understand that men do that sometimes themselves. But also sometimes people are actually exchanging their body for pleasure, for physical pleasure. That's an exchange or a selling of itself. Sometimes a young girl will sell her body to the football star for love, what she thinks is love. She wants the football star. She wants to be on his arm at the prom or whatever. And she's willing to yield her body to this young man for that privilege, which she thinks of as love, and which no doubt he thinks of as lust. But the point is, she is exchanging her body for something else, which she calls love. But it's nevertheless the selling of the body. Some will sell it for popularity, girls and boys alike. But particularly girls have been known to give their bodies to men, different men, many men, because they want to and think it will make them popular in school or in some other relationship. Some people will sell their body for a lot of different things. But any time you engage in the use of your body, the uniting of your body as one flesh with another body, for some reason other than what God designed it, it is an exchange or a selling of the body. And that's what pornography is that individuals are selling their souls. And they are selling their bodies. They are bargaining away their minds for pleasure. They will take their mind and give it to a picture or give it to something that they can view that is illicit. They will give their mind to that for pleasure or for gratification of the lust of the flesh, as Matthew 5:27 through 28 mentioned, as we read just a moment ago. And so recognize that whether you are viewing illicit pictures or engaging in fornication, whether you're viewing pornography or engaging in the act of sexual immorality, this is the meaning of porno, pornos, pornuo. This is a selling of your mind or your soul or your body. It's a sale that you're making that, as we shall see, violates the very principles that God has revealed in His Word. I want us to look at pornography and recognize that it is a corruption of the heart. First of all, let us understand what Jesus said in the Beatitudes when He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Jesus, as you well know, is describing the character of men and women who would make up His kingdom when it came. It would be made up of the poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are meek, those that are merciful, those that are hungry and thirst after righteousness, those that are peacemakers, those that suffer for righteousness' sake. But it is made up also of the pure in heart. Then it will tell us immediately that pornography is a sin, because it violates the very nature of the heart and the character of a man that Jesus designed for His kingdom. And so as Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Whether it's murder, whether it's stealing, or whether it's fornication, it comes out of an evil heart. And in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 12, the apostle there is describing the Israelites in the wilderness whom God gave up because they had evil hearts of unbelief. And yet those same Israelites are described in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6 as displayed or written in the Old Testament for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. The lust of a man's heart for that which is evil grows out of an evil heart, Jesus said, and in the case of the Israelites, out of an evil heart of unbelief. And when people reject God, and when they turn from God, it is very likely, it is very possible they become susceptible to giving themselves over to evil lusts. Now that brings us back then to the very point that Jesus makes really throughout the entire Sermon of the Mount. Need I tell you that one of the essential themes of that sermon is the heart of man. Whether you're describing his heart as in the Beatitudes, one that is poor in spirit, that mourns, that's meek, that's merciful, all of that, or whether you're talking about the heart as described in chapter 6, where the Pharisees, who were hypocrites, were out here praying and giving alms and fasting and doing things merely to be seen of men. And Jesus is condemning them because their heart is not right. But especially in that 5th chapter, in verse 21, Jesus shows that sin begins in the heart. Now certainly it is wrong to kill a man, Jesus is saying. And you can go back to the law and it says, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, you must understand that killing originates in an evil heart of anger and hatred. And whosoever would be angry with his brother, whosoever would say to his brother, Reka, a term of contempt, whosoever has in his heart the evil hatred that produces murder, Jesus says, sins. And that's what brings us then to the very point that we made at the beginning of the lesson with regard to pornography, where men are selling their minds and their bodies, but particularly their minds, to the lust of the flesh by the things that they observe in pictures of a lascivious and illicit nature. And what makes it wrong is that Jesus said it proceeds out of a heart of lust to which that person has no right. Now you've heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, whosoever looks on a woman, whether in person, whether in picture, whether on the internet, in a video recorder, or at an illicit house of ill repute, whenever a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's the essential sin of pornography. Is that we essentially exchange our minds and sell them for an evil lust, for a lust, a perverted lust, a lust that we have no right to have. Now, proceeding from that, let us understand then that not only is pornography a corruption of the heart, but pornography is also a work of the flesh. You're familiar with Galatians, the 5th chapter, where the Apostle Paul contrasts the flesh and the spirit. And he tells the Galatians that you walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For he says those two are contrary. And when Paul begins to describe the works of the flesh, he is saying that it is contrary to the walk or the life of the Spirit. And so as he begins to describe the works of the flesh, he begins with our word fornication. But he also describes uncleanness and lasciviousness. Now these are the works of the flesh. Lasciviousness is any kind of behavior, any kind of conduct that tends to produce an evil lust. A lust such as the corruption of the heart that Jesus describes, to which a man has no right. When God in the beginning made man and woman, he made them male and female and said, those two, when they leave their father and mother and cleave unto one another, shall become one flesh. And therefore, as the writer says in Hebrews 13:4, the bed in marriage is undefiled. That when a man joins his body to a woman as one flesh in marriage, it is pure and it is undefiled. It is beautiful. A man has a right to lust after his wife. A wife has a right to lust after her man, her husband. And Paul makes that point, that marriage is to avoid fornication. And that a woman has the power over the body of her husband. And the husband has the power, and I remind you that's the word authority, over the body of his wife. They are indebted, obligated, responsible to one another in the fulfillment of the desires of the flesh. But what Paul is describing in Galatians 5:19 is lasciviousness and fornication, where a man is carried away by an evil lust, a desire for someone other than his wife. And that is contrasted in Galatians 5 to walking by the Spirit, which means to walk in love and peace and joy and long-suffering and kindness and self-control. Self-control as a fruit of the Spirit is contrasted to one who would allow his lust to conceive and to bring forth sin in desiring and having a passion for one to whom he has no right. It's called the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And Jesus said these things are of the, or Paul or John said these things are of the world. And they're not of God. And when we follow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, when we allow our passions through our eyes to focus on these kinds of pictures and these kinds of scenes and these kinds of objects, we are following the ways of the world and not the ways of God. Paul warned these Galatians where he was discussing this contrast between the lusts of the flesh or the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Paul is warning them to not allow the freedom that they have in Christ to become an occasion to the flesh. We can serve only one master, and that master is Jesus Christ. And we must not allow ourselves then to turn the grace of God, as Jude put it in verse 4, to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness the production of evil lusts, lusts of fornication or adultery, lusts after someone who we are not joined to by God in a pure and an undefiled relationship. Pornography, the viewing of objects and pictures, in the stirring of evil lusts and lascivious passions and desires of the flesh, is a work of the flesh. And they that practice such things, Paul said in Galatians 5:21, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pornography is an addiction that takes control of a man. It's interesting that Paul, when he talks about addiction in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 13, that here he is not talking about something that is sinful in itself. Paul is simply saying you cannot be addicted to anything, even something that's innocent. Let's assume that you like meat. And let's assume that the eating of meats destroys a brother. Are you so addicted to eating meat? Are you so driven by the flesh and the desire for meat that you would eat that when you knew it was going to destroy a brother? Paul said that meats are for the belly and the belly is for meats. But I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not let anything control me. Even innocent things. Now, what Paul does in this context of 1 Corinthians 6 is proceed to discuss fornication. Proceeds to discuss the desires of the flesh for an illicit union of the body, in this particular case with a harlot. And Paul is saying that I will not be under control even of meats if it's going to destroy my brother. And you must not be under the control of fornication, under control of the flesh. You must not join your body to a harlot. Flee fornication and that illicit sexual relation. And again, I remind you that Jesus is saying we flee that not just in practice, in union of the body, but in the mind, which becomes evil when we lust after one who is not our wife or our husband is not our mate. And that takes us back to what we mentioned a moment ago in the beginning. Man made God in his own image. Man can reason. Man can understand, and man can make a choice. You're not like an animal, though we sometimes act like animals. We are not like animals that are driven by instinct. We are made in the image and likeness of God, where we can receive His instruction and His teaching. And by reason and by minds and by understanding can know what God has taught. Just as we've learned here tonight about fornication and lust after evil things. And we have the power. We have the ability to choose what we will do. So that Joshua, when the Israelites came into the land, had conquered the land, and he himself was about to die, he challenged his nation. He challenged the people of Israel. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, he says, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made the choice. Now it's hard for you to understand. It's hard for any of us to grasp what Israel faced when they went into the land of Palestine. You see, in that land were Canaanites. In that land were Amorites and Jebusites and Girgashites and and all kinds of Canaanites. And God let those people stay in that land till their iniquity was full, according to Genesis, the 15th chapter, verses 15 through 18. And He said the fourth generation, some 400 years from now, those people will become so wicked, so corrupt, so full of idolatry and evil, that they don't deserve that land anymore, and I'll drive them out before you and give it to you. And that's just what had happened. But they didn't drive those people out. As you begin the book of Judges, you find that they let the Canaanites stay in the land. And I can't begin to describe to you what a temptation that was to the nation of Israel. The Canaanites worshipped idols. They worshipped gods of gold and silver, gods of wood and iron, gods of the imagination. But when they worshipped those gods, they had ungodly, lascivious, reveling festivals in honor of those gods, and engaged openly in sexual fornication and adultery to honor those gods. And Joshua is saying, you've got to make a choice. Right now, I and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's what Israel had to choose. And we have to make that choice today. And though it may be an addiction as it is described psychologically, we have the power. And with God, and in answer to prayer, and in the encouragement of brethren. And I would suggest to you that if you have a problem, you go to a brother in whom you can have confidence and will receive you confidentially and get some help. And by the help of God and by prayer and the encouragement of your brethren, you can make the choice. You can make the choice not to engage in pornographic traffic, going to video recorders and watching that kind of movie, going to the internet and getting on those kinds of sites, and allowing the lust of your flesh, the passion of your body to be drawn toward an object to which you have no right. Pornography is essentially a distortion of the dignity of women. Man, first of all, God says, is to love his neighbor even as he loves himself. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that includes loving women and loving men. And what that means is to hold them up in the highest esteem, to exalt them even above yourself, as Jesus exalted you above himself to die on the cross for you. You must exalt your neighbor above yourself to work that which is good and holy and righteous to them. When God created man, He created them. He created woman as well as man in His own image. And we know, according to Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18, why He created woman. There was nothing in all of creation that was suitable for the needs of man. There wasn't an animal that He could tell a joke to and laugh with. There wasn't an animal that He could commiserate with and cry with. There wasn't an animal anywhere that could sympathize with Him or share with Him His joys or His sufferings or His problems. There was no social relationship for man at all in what God had created. And man was lonely. And man needed a companion. And he needed someone he could share life with. And so woman was created in the very likeness of God and the likeness of man himself And God said to the two of them, you leave your father and mother, and you cleave unto one another. And when you do that, you can unite your bodies together in one flesh. When a man decides, and a woman, to leave their household, the household of their parents, and they commit by vows that they will cleave and stick together like glue, when they make that vow to one another, until death do they part, Romans 7, verses 1 through 4, God says, you can join your bodies together in one flesh. And Hebrews 13, verse 4, to which we referred a moment ago, describes marriage as honorable. Marriage and the union of a man and a woman in one flesh is honorable, and the bed is undefiled. But fornication, the selling of that body to someone else in an immoral relationship or adultery, God will judge. Ephesians 5, 25 and 28. Exalt woman in the marriage relationship, even above the man. I don't mean that man is not the head of the wife. I don't mean that he's not in charge of the relationship. But what I do mean is that man is to love his wife as he loves his own body. He is to love her. He is to exalt her. He is to unselfishly give himself to her and her needs. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 2, when he said, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was talking to the Philippians in their relationship in the Lord's church, that they do nothing through faction or through vainglory, but each of them count other better than himself. Exalt your brethren above yourself. And husbands, you exalt your wife. You love her. Love her even as you love your own body. And no man ever hated his own body, but he cherishes it and nourishes it. And so he must cherish his wife, and he must nourish his wife. God exalted woman to the place of dignity in the home as the object of a man's love and devotion, and to love her even as he loves himself. And pornography is simply men buying women to use as a toy, to use as a thing, to use as an object. You think a pornographer is interested in the woman that he views? You think that he cares anything about her at all? She's just a thing. She's just a toy. She's just something for his objective gawking and looking and observing. And it denigrates. And it degrades one who has been made in the very image of God and was created to be exalted and to be held in reverence and high esteem. Pornography perverts the very nature of woman as God created and designed her for a man. And you don't have a right to any woman that you haven't committed yourself to love until death do you part. Committed yourself to love and to cherish and to nourish and to use any woman as an object of lust and passion for the mere fulfillment of the lust of the flesh is to walk in the world, is to walk according to the flesh, and to have no right at all to enter into the kingdom of God. In conclusion, let me say to you that pornography will destroy you. It destroys the morality and uprightness of the soul. It reduces you to nothing more than a passionate bull in a barnyard. That's all you are. You're nothing more than a boar hog. You have destroyed who God created you to be, an upright, moral person made in the image of God. And if you think you can look on that kind of filth, in that kind of way, and be anything other than a mere animal, you have misunderstood what God designed man to be. It will pervert your view of sex. It will totally distort what God intended for the one flesh relationship to be. And ultimately, it will destroy in you a normal relationship with your wife. It will make you selfish. Sometimes it will make you violent. And ultimately, if it goes far enough, it will make you unfaithful to your wife. Pornography is the ultimate expression of selfishness and self-interest. And what Paul says concerning the pornographer is that he is severed from God and has destroyed his right to an entrance into the kingdom of God. It reaps the eternal vengeance of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Jesus will return with his angels of power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate end of the pornographer is to be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. But let me suggest, as we draw our lesson to a close, that pornography never stops. Ultimately, will not stop with just looking at pictures. It becomes an addiction that will escalate into deviant behavior. It will go beyond just looking. It will desensitize a man where he has no conscience at all and destroy his ultimate sense of purity and self-esteem and the image of his soul in the likeness of God. It will cause men to become sexually active even if they have to buy sexual fulfillment with prostitutes. It leads to fornication. It leads to adultery. Sometimes it leads to rape and it leads to pedophilia. It's a total perversion of everything that God designed a man to be and a woman to be, and the relationship that they should share together. I hope you can always remember, if not anything else in this lesson, why God designed a woman and the relationship that He created for her with man. And when you can give yourself to a woman until death do you part, and you can exalt and love her above yourself, that commitment will permit you to unite with her, your body, and enjoy the pleasures and the fulfillment of sexual relationships, just as God designed it and planned it to be. But for you to look upon a woman, to lust after her, a woman to whom you have no right, have no privilege, no authority from God to have, you've committed adultery. You've committed fornication. You have sold your mind. You've sold your soul. You've sold your body. You've sold your very being to evil lusts and passions. And that's the essential meaning of pornography, is to sell ourselves to viewing in a perverted and distorted way the body of one to whom we have no right. It's not my favorite subject. I don't like preaching on this kind of thing. But a younger generation, after much discussion, has convinced me that this is indeed a serious problem among brethren. And I decided a couple of years ago to do this research. This is only the second time I've ever preached on it. But I've been told that we need to do more preaching on this topic in gospel meetings wherever we go. I don't know how much I'll preach on it, but I do want you to understand how addictive and how evil and degrading pornography is. And turn your heart away from it. Turn unto God in prayer. Seek His forgiveness. And serve the Lord faithfully. And find a woman to whom you can join yourself in love and dedication and commitment. And enjoy all the pleasures of the physical relationship that God designed for a man. But I would say to you tonight that if you're not a Christian, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring you to understand that there is a God of purity and holiness, and that Jesus Christ manifested that pure and holiness here on earth. That if you believe in Him with all your heart and seek to walk in the righteousness in which He walked, you can repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. God will wash away all your sins. You can stand before Him pure and holy and walk in the likeness of Jesus Himself, denying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, denying the works of the flesh and the passions of the body, and walking in purity before your Lord. And hear Him say someday, when He comes in judgment, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. If you're a Christian and have been involved in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, in this kind of addiction, then take charge of your soul and your spirit, your mind and your life. Repent of it. Turn to God in prayer. Find His forgiveness as it comes through the blood of Christ. And purpose in your heart, as God forgives you, to walk once again in holiness and in truth. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord this evening to walk in a dignified and spiritual and holy way, you can come to God and obey the gospel. We urge you to do that while we stand and sing this hymn that's been selected.